Pardon me, I thought there were five stanzas. Or I lost count. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's meditation is the epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 4, which was read to you a few moments ago. In the name of Jesus, dear friends in Christ, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's been the motto of the United States since the War for Independence. In 1782, it was designated as the motto to reflect that the United States was a new nation, one nation made up of individual states. Although in Congress in 1956, established In God We Trust as the official motto of the United States, E Pluribus Unum is still on our coins and our currency, as well as on the Great Seal of the United States of America. It's embroidered or printed on the ribbon that's held in the eagle's beak. E Pluribus Unum is also reflecting today's occasion at Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church. Individuals and families from all over the nation are gathered for the biannual reunion of the Johann Georg Schumm family. It also describes the 175th anniversary of this congregation. Founded here in Wilshire Township, Van Wert County, Ohio in 1846, this congregation began as a place primarily for the Schumm families to gather to receive God's gifts in word and sacrament. Today, the congregation includes members who may have no ties whatsoever to the Schumm family. But because the ties that bind believers to our God, great God and Savior Jesus Christ, we're all together here in what Martin Luther called a little holy flock or community of pure saints under one head, Christ. Each and every member of this congregation of the church has been brought into it by the Holy Spirit and incorporated into it in the fact that we have heard and continue to hear the word of God. The Apostle Paul makes the same point in the portion of scripture read earlier as the epistle lesson. Paul was writing to a church made up of both Jews and Gentiles, or non-Jews. For centuries, there had been tension between these two groups. Jews are descendants from Abraham, and they knew that God had set them apart to be his holy people. Through them, God had promised to send the one who would save the world and establish God's reign forever. Gentiles, on the other hand, were people from other nations and tribes. History shows that although many of them had some idea of a supreme being or power, they didn't know the true God. As Paul wrote, "For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." Now, people get defensive when they perceive that they're looked down upon by others, especially when their religion is being belittled. That's the root cause of the tension between the Gentiles and the Jews. But when Christ descended from heaven and took on human flesh, he revealed God's true nature, his love for all people, and his desire that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That truth, according to Jesus, was God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just look at Jesus' ministry. He had compassion on people. When people came to him, he accepted them as they were, and then he healed them in body and soul. And because he welcomed sinners and ate with them, the pious religious leaders condemned him and had him crucified, put to death under the curse of men and of God. But Jesus proved them all wrong. After 3 days, he rose from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And over the next 40 days, he appeared to many witnesses. Sometime later, a well-educated Jew named Saul zealously tried to rid the world of the followers of Jesus. But Jesus confronted Saul on the road to Damascus and changed his life. After his conversion, Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, his former enemies, because Jesus had revealed to him that God wanted all people to know that there is only one way to eternal life, and that there is no other way apart from faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Ephesus, Paul had worked for more than 3 years, teaching and encouraging the believers in that city, Jew and Gentile alike. He taught them who Jesus was and what he had done to rescue them from sin and damnation. Jesus loved all people. He gave himself for sinners. His whole earthly ministry was focused on caring for those in need, no matter what their background. Jesus came to save God's people, Israel, that's true. But during his earthly ministry, Jesus showed that God's mercy was not limited to the Jewish people alone. In Samaria, he met a woman at a well and led her to desire the true water that leads to eternal life. He healed a Roman centurion's son. While in the district of Tyre and Sidon, that's Gentile country, he healed the daughter of a Canaanite woman. In his teaching, Jesus also showed that God's mercy is for all people. The parable of the mustard seed, a tiny seed that grows into a large shrub or even tree, as Jesus calls it, is large enough for the birds to nest in its branches. That parable teaches that God's kingdom may start small, but it grows to shelter people of every tribe and tongue and nation. You see, in baptism, the Holy Spirit connects people to Jesus. There, in baptism, we too were united with him in his death and resurrection. In baptism, the Holy Spirit makes our bodies his temple, the place where he dwells. With Paul, then, we confess, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, from many, we are really one in Christ. If only were that easy to live as we were Christ's holy people, even with one another at times. We still drag around this weight of sin that corrupts not just our bodies, but our minds as well. The devil, the world, and our own flesh distract us constantly, keep us from living the abundant new life that God has called us to live. That's why we need to remain in his word. That's what Paul was encouraging the Ephesians when he wrote to them, and what he encourages us to do as well. We need to maintain our connection to the church, especially because Paul calls the church the body of Christ. In other words, we need each other. If this past year has taught us anything, it's that being separated from other people creates anxiety and stress that leads to emotional distress and, in some cases, even physical illness. With recent reports of COVID variants spreading around the country and political leaders considering reemploying masks and lockdowns, tensions are already building in communities and between people. But for Christians, there's another reason why we need each other. We are the body of Christ. God has given each one of us gifts and abilities. The purpose being so that we can continue the ministry of our Lord Jesus in this world. That ministry is proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom comes wherever his word, the message of Christ, is shared, not just by what we say, but by what we do as well, both in this place and wherever we are in the world. You see, we are Christians, followers of Christ, wherever we are, and therefore we are always bearing witness to Jesus by our words and actions. For example, while serving in a church in upstate New York, a member asked me to visit her mother, who lived in a nearby senior high-rise. When I arrived there, I reached to press the button that would let her know I was there, and then she opened the door for me. And above her name was my name, H. Shum. Later, I met Harold Shum, who told me that he had grown up in this congregation. He had even helped unload the bricks that were used to make this building. His son lived in Syracuse, was active in the church also, and was well known throughout the entire Eastern District. I think he served on the board of directors there. A faith begun and nurtured here bore fruit far from here, from one generation to the next. My grandfather was born here and baptized in this congregation. He moved as a boy to Brooklyn, New York with his father. Later, at that church that he attended there, he met and married my grandmother. They were active there, and then later they moved to California for a few years, then back to New Jersey. They were active in churches in both places. I grew up in a neighboring town where both my parents were active in the church. Many of us, if not all of us, have similar stories about where we come from and how we got to where we are and how the Lord was at work in all of that. Do you see what has happened? God has called us to be one in Christ. He has gifted us differently to accomplish his purposes as we work together in the church. And then he has sent us to various places to continue to use the talents and gifts he provides to serve others. Even if you've always attended one congregation for your entire life, your service has affected your fellow saints at that church, who then left to serve their Lord and their neighbors somewhere else. All this happens because God loves us and has sent his Son Jesus to save us from the just consequences of our sin. Rescued from God's wrath, eternal death, adopted into God's family through the waters of baptism, equipped with gifts so that we might serve God and neighbor. We have been blessed as God grants us the joy of knowing that he continues to work in us and through us to bring salvation to people around the world. Out of many, one. That motto describes the Church of Jesus Christ. We come from different backgrounds, are given different talents by our Creator, but we are connected to the one from whom we receive salvation and for whom we live. And yet, from that one, Christ, we are many, entrusted with time and talents and life itself, that we might serve God and our neighbor wherever we might be. Today, in Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, Shum, Ohio, we thank God for the faith he has created in our forefathers, and which, through the generations, he has now worked in us. To God be all the glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.